I can feel the storm brewing, the clouds rolling in, thunder rumbles beyond the hill, and the elements pause to gather their force. The night grows unnaturally still.
Below in the depths, the turbulence swells. Deep in my heart swells the fear. It tears through my throat in a desperate cry. Oh Lord, do you know I am here?
He says, peace, peace, be still. Lifts his
good it is to hear the words of Jesus echoing down across the centuries. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Gentle shepherd. Gentle shepherd,
listening to Morning Devotions during the next 30 minutes. Here's a story I came across, well, many, many years ago, and I never grow tired of reading it. It's entitled, A Sick Preacher Takes a Walk. During the first half of the last century, it was a common occurrence for the townspeople of Brixham, England, to see a frail, middle-aged man stroll thoughtfully by the seashore. The mild-mannered man was the town's parson. He had taken his daily walks by the sea for more than 20 years. That was the way he thought out many of his sermons, for there by the sea he daily talked with God. On a Sunday afternoon in September 1847, Reverend Henry Francis Light walked with a heavy heart. His steps were uncommonly slow. He knew that this was the last time he would tread the familiar path. When he was 30 years old, Mr. Light had taken the little church at Brixham because he thought the salt air might help mend his health. Now, when he was 54, his lung ailment had grown worse. Doctors said he would have to leave Brixham and go to the warmer climate of Italy. At the morning service that Sunday in 1847, the ailing minister had administered his last sacrament. Now, as he walked beside the sea for the last time, he made notes for his farewell message to friends whose joys and sorrows he had shared for almost a quarter of a century. In Italy, he would be among strangers, but the gentleman knew that there was one friend who would go with him in life, in death, no matter where he might go. And as he talked with God that Sunday afternoon, the preacher put his prayer on paper. He gave the paper to a relative, and the relative put it away in a trunk. Henry Francis Light died in southern France 2 months after leaving Brixham. He never reached Italy. But that prayer that he put down on paper as he walked along the sea, communion with God, later was published and became a hymn. And the words have brought comfort to many, many a heart down through the years. I'm sure you've heard it. You'll recognize it. It's a hymn that expresses a prayer. Just see that preacher walking along the seaside for the last time as he writes his prayer down on paper. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, oh, abide with me. These are beautiful thoughts. The fact that we have the presence of God with us as we turn the eyes of our soul heavenward and seek after Him, the Lord is with us. We can go anywhere. We can be anywhere and be happy in Jesus and have His joy, having the sense of His presence, His protection, the light of His countenance. Let's experience that abiding presence of our Lord today, wherever you are. Whatever is happening in your life, just turn your heart heavenward. Say yes to God, and He'll say yes to you. Thank you. beautiful melody and beautiful words. Lord, abide with us today. The people said in Psalm 137, by the rivers of Babylon there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Those are some sad, dismal verses, because they were the Lord's people who had been carried away into captivity. I'm sure you remember the story, how King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians marched through the city streets of Jerusalem, causing havoc and destruction, and tore down the city wall and burnt the temple with fire. The house of God that Solomon had made hundreds of years before, now it all lay in ashes, and the city was destroyed, and the Jews carried away into captivity. God's people, God's people. But the reason it all happened was because of the sin of God's people, because they had stepped out of fellowship with the Lord, and they weren't serving Him. God sent His prophets, men like Jeremiah, to stand there on the streets of Jerusalem day after day, warning them, cautioning them. God is so good to us, isn't He? He doesn't bring destruction without warning us. He doesn't cause His wrath to fall upon us without telling us that it's coming, and we have an opportunity to flee from the wrath to come. And Jeremiah, day after day, along with others, preached and prophesied and encouraged those people to turn from their wicked ways and to serve the Lord. But they, in those days, are pretty much like people nowadays. They turn a deaf ear. They don't want to hear what God has to say. They don't want to hear the word of the Lord. They'd rather tune into something else. And they said no to God. And because they rebelled, because they closed their heart to God's mercy and to His remedy, then sure enough, their city was destroyed, thousands of people massacred, thousands carried away into faraway Babylon. And now, as they are here in Babylon, in Psalm 137, the captors are saying to them, sing us one of the Lord's songs. Sing us one of those songs that you used to sing back in the temple in Jerusalem. We'd love to hear it. But the Jews answered and said, we can't do it. We have no song. There is no melody in our heart. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? We have hung our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. Well, that was a good kind of a tree to hang your harp when you're sad, because it was a weeping willow, and the very tree itself seemed to describe the awful condition that the people were in. They had lost their song. The trees were weeping. They were weeping. Nothing worse in life than when you lose your song and you lose your melody. Well, you know, we can sing anywhere. Anywhere we can sing, except there's one place that we can't, and that's when we are in the captivity of sin. When we've lost the joy of the Lord because of being out of fellowship with God, there is no song there, just moaning and groaning. But as far as situations are concerned, the circumstance doesn't matter in life where you may be, as long as your heart is right with God. Paul and Silas could sing in prison. Jesus led His disciples in singing a hymn on that fateful night following the Last Supper, just before they left and went out into the darkness to face Gethsemane. They sang a hymn. So you can sing anywhere. You can have a song in your heart. The Bible talks about songs in the night and songs of deliverance. So whether you be in the deep, dark valley, or whether you be in prison for the cause of Christ, like Paul and Silas, or whether you're facing a Gethsemane like Jesus was, we can sing. There's only one place where you cannot sing, and that's in Babylon, when you're in captivity, when you've lost the joy of the Lord because of your sin. There is no song. The only thing you can do is repent of your sins and make things right with God and turn to the Lord with all your heart and soul. And then when you do that, the Lord will restore your song, and He will give you a new melody. It's interesting how the Bible talks many times about a new song. At least 10 times in the Scriptures, the Bible talks about a new song. Like in Isaiah 42, verse 10. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise from the end of the earth. Or in Psalm 40, verse 3. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. A new song speaks of something that is fresh, the freshness of it. The words may be old, but the melody is new. If you have found yourself down in Babylon, with your harps hanging on the willow trees, and you've lost the victory, and there is no song in your heart because of sin in your life, because you have come out of fellowship with God, then, dear friend, repent of your sins, make things right with God, turn your heart toward heaven, and God will give you a brand new song. Oh, that's the miracle of His love and kindness, isn't it?
There has to be a song. There are too many dark nights, too many troublesome days, too many wearisome miles. There has to be a song to make our burdens bearable, to make our hopes believable, to transform our successes into praise, to release the chains of past defeats somewhere down deep in a forgotten corner of one's heart. There has to be a song, like a cool, clear drink of water, like the gentle warmth of the sunshine, like the tender love of a child. There has to be a song.
You ask me why my heart keeps singing. You ask me why, when all is wrong. But since I've found the source of music, I just can't help it. God gave me the song. Too many nights without dawn's promise, too many days without the sun. Then Jesus came and gave life meaning. Day after day, the song goes on. For since I've found the source of music, I just can't help it. God gave me the song. Come walk with me through fields and forests. We'll climb the and hear the song. For even hills resound the music. They just can't help it. God gave the song to many nights without dawn's promise, too many days without the sun. Then Jesus came and gave life meaning day after day. The song goes on, for since I've found the source of music, I just can't help it. God gave me the song. Come on and join the song of Jesus, and we'll sing it. God gave the song.
And thank God for the song that comes from heaven. Thank God for the miracle of singing. It is a miracle because of the way God has constructed us, how drab life would be without singing. But the Lord has so made us that when we want to sing, nerve centers near the brain cause the vocal cords to start vibrating, and then the energy of the air stored in our lungs amplifies this vibration to make it audible, and it comes out music. We could go through life without any singing, no music, no melody. But Christianity is a singing religion. Ephesians 5, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Moses sang after crossing the Red Sea. Exodus chapter 15, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. And what was the song? Here's part of it. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he's become my salvation. And as I mentioned a few moments ago, Paul and Silas sang in prison. King Jehoshaphat put the church choir in front of his army as they went into battle, and the Lord gave them the victory. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King may speak our joys abroad. Thank God for the song in the night. Thank God for the melody that the Lord gives us. When the heart is right with God. No, you can't sing in captivity of Babylon when you're still living in sin. But when you repent of your sins and make things right with God and get in step with heaven, the Lord will certainly put a song within your heart, won't he? God will put a song in your heart. I love this recording of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. I won't have time for much of it, just a few seconds. But the message of this song certainly spells out the reason for our song. All I want is you, Lord. As the words repeated again and again throughout the song. All I want is you, Lord. All I want is you. And when you have that attitude, you're going to have a song in your heart. No doubt about it.
Troubled me.
wish I had a little more time, but my time's gone. This is John Thrasher. Thanks for listening. Have a good day. God bless you.